As we continue to keep our distance from each other, millions of essential workers continue to operate in the face of this worsening global health crisis. This includes first responders and emergency personnel whose job has become even more complicated with the looming threat of COVID-19 infection and spread in the communities that they serve. Hawaii anticipates an expected spike in coronavirus cases. Honolulu's emergency services personnel are vital. James Howe is the department's director. He spoke with the Conversation's Harrison Patino about precautionary measures its staff is taking during this pandemic.
We are using full PPE precautions on every call we respond to with our EMS service. And that is now the CDC standard. So that is what precautions we're taking every call.
To clarify, not just the calls where people are calling about symptoms that may indicate positive coronavirus, but any call whatsoever.
That's correct, yes.
And going forward, do you think there's going to be an adequate supply of personal protection equipment? I mean, obviously, we're going to see this spike in cases. Do we have a good stockpile?
So at this point, we are, you know, struggling like others, but we are not in imminent threat of not having PPEs. We are monitoring that situation extremely closely. And we are also exploring a number of options in where we can get additional support for PPEs and other ways where we can conserve use. So this is one of the major points that we want to make from the EMS perspective is that because we're using PPEs and we have to on every single call, the calls that we go on that are not truly emergency calls are not only taking up our time and the availability of our ambulance units for true emergencies, but we're also burning through the PPE stock that we have available to protect our first responders out there.
Going forward in a time of crisis like this, what can you tell people to help them to free up services and not call during a non-essential situation?
So there's a couple of things. We understand that folks are anxious and we understand that they're looking for where they can get good information and get help. So I'm going to provide some sources for folks, especially if they're not having what we would really call a life-threatening emergency. And maybe we should start with, what are those life-threatening emergencies? Those would be strokes, heart trouble, and difficulty breathing. Things of that nature are the kinds of true medical emergencies that we would ask and expect for folks to call us. The other areas that people can call, especially if they're concerned about, you know, fever, chills, coughing, what we would call lower acuity type of cases, there is a city hotline for information. That's 768-CITY. Queens Medical Center has set up a 24/7 hotline, which has medical professionals that will answer your questions. That number is 691-2619, 691-2619. We also have available 211 service. Aloha United Way is providing that. It's from 7 in the morning until 10 at night. And then we've also noticed that there's a number of drive-through clinics. I believe yesterday I heard that number is slightly in excess of 40. That are now available statewide. And of course, you can contact your personal physician. I spoke to several physicians today, and calling them before you go into the office so that you can get some guidance in terms of whether you need to come in or not. Those are all options for the community, including, of course, 911 for those true emergency situations. And we will be there during those calls.
In terms of even contacting emergency services, because we've seen such a high rate of people working from home, a lot of data service providers have been completely overwhelmed. Connectivity has been bad. People haven't been able to get through to certain lines. Do you anticipate that that's going to be an issue with emergency services?
No, we do not. Our 911 service is extremely robust. We can become overwhelmed. We saw that during the nuclear false alarm we had. But in this case right now, the call volumes are steady. They did spike up last week. We saw at least the medical call volume coming in through our EMS dispatch spiked up about 25% last week. And it has dropped down a little bit to more normal levels right now. And so we want to really thank the public for using these other resources. But right now, it seems like we're in a good position to be able to manage the call volume that we're seeing.
Now, if and when Hawaii sees a surge in cases, do you anticipate that most people are going to be self-admitting to hospitals, or do you anticipate a rise in calls for extreme coronavirus-related symptoms that have either gone neglected or have gotten to the point where people need the service of an ambulance?
You know, that's very, very difficult to predict. I think we're going to see folks arriving or needing advanced medical care if that does actually happen from a variety of sources. Of course, 911 is one source. We may have others that come through via their physicians. We may see folks actually walking in or coming with loved ones, driving them to facilities I think it will, you know, if we really get to that point, we will be there with the 911 service, but I think we'll see folks coming in from other, you know, other ways to get the care that's available and needed.
Now, just anecdotally, we've heard some stories on the mainland about emergency service providers having their equipment stolen from their car, masks stolen as a part of this pandemonium to get supplies that they need. I'm hoping that sort of thing isn't happening here.
We have not seen that. We are aware that is a possible action that could happen. You know, Hawaii's not the mainland, and I think folks here understand that the ambulance units are out there to help everybody. You know, we just ask everybody to please understand that these folks, these paramedics, they're like field corpsmen during a battle. They're the ones that you call as the last resort. You know, we've got to protect them. You know, out in the battlefield, they have a big red cross on them, and even the bad guys shooting at you know not to shoot at the medical helpers. Please don't do that. That just hurts everybody's chances in a situation like this.
Now, wrapping up here, what would you say some of the critical takeaways are from your perspective of how emergency services is changing and adapting to address this crisis and the kind of care that people are going to need?
Well, we've made very significant and very rapid changes to address the situation over the last 10 days. I go really to what guidance we were given when we moved to an actual incident command structure system, and Mr. Hara was put in charge, the incident commander. We completely change our mode of operation as first responder agencies when we go to this incident command system. What we were directed at, or, you know, said, we need to take quick, bold action to get ahead of this. And that's exactly what we've done, both at EMS and Ocean Safety. I know our firefighters and our police officers are doing the same. You know, we're the team there to protect everybody in the community, and we will be making whatever adjustments as we go forward to make sure that we're able to carry out that mission to the absolute best of our ability.
Now, when we talk about response to a crisis, we think of earthquakes, tsunamis. How is responding to something like this? What are some of the key differences between responding to a health pandemic like this and your typical natural disaster?
So I'm, you know, as a surfer my whole life, and of course, coming from an ocean background, I, in my mind, the way I see this is it's a very slow-moving tsunami that's covering the entire world. It has that same impact because it affects everybody. And it's not fast-moving. That's the difficult challenge that's upon us, is that this is likely to last for some time. We know that with tsunamis, they come, you know, they come and they hit us, and they either really mess us up or they don't, and then they're gone. This one, it's not going to go away. So that's how I've kind of consciously come to this. I did hear something else quite interesting coming out of Washington, D.C., talking about this is the same impact of a hurricane hitting every part of America simultaneously. And that leads to challenges in things like supply chains, the availability of PPEs, even medical supplies. Because it's impacting the entire nation, we all have the same needs across the entire country. So here in Hawaii, you know, we are pretty isolated. We are far away on terms of supply chains, but we have each other. And sharing what we have is going to get us through this. I firmly believe that. The hoarding that we saw, or some of the, you know, the heavy buying, you know, maybe we need to hunker down, and if your neighbor needs something, please share it with them. That is really where our strength's going to lay. I don't believe our strength is going to be relying on somebody over the horizon coming in and suddenly, you know, making everything right for us.
Good to leave it there. Jim Howe, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That was Honolulu's Emergency Services Director James Howe talking with The Conversation's Harrison Patino about how his department is dealing with this growing health crisis.